5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Wow, we take one day off. We had the Rockies playing at sunup, essentially, yesterday. And the whole world collapses around us. It's we've got Sean Payton throwing barbs out at Nathaniel Hackett, talking about last year and the worst coaching job ever. It sounds like the Colorado Buffaloes are going to the Big 12. We kind of expected that news at some point, I think. But I just didn't know when or if it really was going to happen. But we've got that to discuss today. And we've got a Boise State radio host going after Rams fans. Oh, I love it, Angel. My gosh, it's like football season is almost here. It's the 27th of July, and we are gearing up for it. We got trash talk going on. We got conference realignment talk happening. We got Sean Payton standing up at the podium yesterday talking about, Nathaniel Hackett going off on the guy. So I want to get to all of that. Wild. So our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, how about this one? Will the Pac-12 be in existence in 5 years? You think the Pac-12 will even be the Pac-12? And maybe not even 5 years. We don't know what the TV deal is. They've already lost USC and UCLA. They just lost CU. And again, primetime tagged to that is a big loss for the Pac-12. Are they going to be around? You think they're done? Is it over for the Pac-12? They're losing teams left and right, man. And we still don't know how to watch Pac-12 football for the foreseeable future outside of this upcoming season. That's the poll question. Go vote at theholeshow.com. Will the Pac-12 exist in the next 5 years or so? 41% saying yes, it will. Yeah, I got a lot of people that are commenting and talking about this via Twitter saying the Pac-12 is going to dissolve into something else, and they're going to mix a lot of these group of five teams, take the best teams from the group of five, and make something else of it. It still doesn't matter, Angel. If you don't have a TV deal, it doesn't matter what you do. You can't hope to contend. So when does the Pac-12 actually like drop out of being known as a Power 5 conference? Or did that happen the minute this news broke about CU? Because Oregon's the class of the conference, but you got to think Oregon's going to be on the move at some point, right? So go ahead and vote on that one at theholeshow.com. I'm very curious. I did reach out to Mike Prater, by the way. He is a co-host on a radio station, I'm guessing, around Boise State, KTIK 95.3 FM. And he had some interesting things to say about Rams fans, because the question now is, what's going to happen for Rams fans? The question is, what's going to happen with CSU? Does that open the door for the Pac-12? Former volleyball coach for CSU, Tom Hilbert, just tweeted out that it only makes sense for CSU and CU to be in the same conference. That would grow sports throughout the state. And I 100% agree, but I don't see CSU now being that attractive to the Big 12 at this stage. Do you?
No, not to the Big 12.
No. So I don't see those two. CU and CSU's, that's not going to be a thing. They're not going to be in the same conference, I don't believe. But Colorado State could end up in the Pac-12 now. And again, it goes back to a poll question a week ago. Is that what you want at this stage? Is it better to sit tight and just see what happens with the Pac-12 and their TV situation and all that? This is a big day. This is a big news cycle coming out here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. They'll be in the Big 12, back to where they came from. Wow. When they made the transition to the Pac-12, that was a controversial move. And they didn't really do anything with that. Nothing really good came from their time in the Pac-12. So what do you think? Pac-12 done? Changing the name? Changing the structure of what we do here? Or does it survive just as a crappy Power 5 conference?
I think a little bit of all of that. I think they'll try to pick some teams from the Mountain West or whichever conferences are left and try to scavenge. If they can get 12 teams together, that's the minimum at this point. So if you can find 12 teams and a TV deal that works, and you can just try to be the lower of the Power 5. But, yeah, We kind of saw this coming with USC and the two California schools leaving. Now CU, what's going to happen with Oregon, Washington, Arizona, those types of schools. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Pac-12 will be the Pac-12 in the next few years.
Yeah. Until we see what the – we still don't have the TV deal, right? We still don't know what that is. So until we see that, it's – you know, the Apple TV thing ain't going to cut it. That's just not going to work. So – if they can't get that figured out, we've discussed this at great length, then they're in trouble. All right, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is I think it's good. Yes, obviously, CU going to the Big 12. Putting the Buffs, we all know this, and Rams fans will disagree with me, but the state of Colorado sports-wise is better when the Buffs are better. That's just the way it is. So if CU has a chance to go onto the big stage in the Big 12 and represent the state of Colorado, that is a good thing. Which leads me back to my question from a week ago. Not really a question, but yeah, you want them to do well because you want to be the one to beat them. And now they're doing well. They're moving on to the Big 12. Even though Phil DeStefano said, like last week, no, our goal is to be in the Pac-12. Don't always believe that stuff, man. Don't always believe it. Here's the bad for me. Two Sean Payton stories here. Now, 2 days ago, Sean Payton blasted the NFL's gambling policy after one of his players was suspended indefinitely to start the week in Uzurke. And he went off and said, when you have a bunch of players getting D's, you have to start looking at the message. And we have a lot of D's in our league talking about grading the NFL and what they do when it comes to suspending players. There have been 10 NFL players suspended for gambling activity. And Sean Payton is not happy about the suspension of this player. He said, shame on us. We're going to send them home for a year where they can't be around. The idea that you just go away for gambling, shame on us. Nah, I want to get into that. I want to get into that because that's not the only Sean Payton story of the day. Sean Payton took aim at Nathaniel Hackett yesterday. He just flat out ripped him to shreds and said, last year, 2022, with the Broncos was one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. And then he said there were 20 dirty hands around quarterback Russell Wilson's career worst that included just 16 touchdown passes and a league-high 55 sacks. He bashed the Jets, too. He said it doesn't happen often where an NFL team or an organization gets embarrassed. And that happened here. Part of it was their own fault relative to spending so much time trying to win the offseason. He bashed the Jets. He mixed them in with the Broncos, basically. Sean Payton was going after yesterday. Is he still in the media? Because that's what it sounded like. He was a talking head looking for some controversy. I do appreciate that he stuck up for Russell Wilson. There's that. Have you ever heard a coach just flat out go after the former coach before? Have you ever heard that before?
No. It's a little strange. I don't know if it was just the year away from being in football. It comes off kind of high horse-ish. Like, oh, you guys are embarrassing. This is not how football is supposed to be done. Like, I get Sean's a great coach, but he sounds like he's the authority of head coaching and how to run a football program. Last I checked, you were paying players to injure other players, Sean.
You're a little salty on this guy today.
Not just...
You're a little salty.
No,
good.
Just like, I don't like that it comes off that, oh, I know better than you. I know how to run a football program better than you.
Basically,
and going after the Jets for what? And Hard Knocks? That has nothing to do with you.
The only connection there is Hackett's over there.
Yeah, let's make the Week 5 matchup more.
Oh my gosh, he just went after it, man. We've got drama going on leading into football season.
I don't like directly name-dropping other coaches that aren't there anymore.
Is what Nathaniel Hackett did yesterday worse than anything that Russell Wilson did all of last season? Isn't it?
Hackett or Payton?
Sorry, Payton.
Okay.
Hackett on the brain. This is worse than Russell Wilson's, you know,
would you rather
spicy.
Have your coach like, yeah, we love Russ, we love that, versus, oh yeah, the last guy here, he was a complete jerk and he didn't know how to run a program and embarrassing.
It was the worst ever in history.
That's a high accusation.
The worst coaching job in history is what he's saying.
There are tons of different ways to run football programs.
I tend to agree that it was one of the worst seasons by a head coach ever. I mean, it's probably up there, but you don't necessarily hear that from a coach in the league, let alone the guy that just replaced that guy. You don't hear. You might hear little side things like, "Yeah, things were done this way last year, and I wasn't crazy about that, but we're working on it." But instead, it's he took aim at Hackett. It's 20 dirty hands around Russell Wilson, basically saying that they ruined Russell Wilson last year. Which we've all, I've thought that, I've said that before, but I'm not the head coach of a football team. Very unprofessional, right? Is that what we would categorize this as?
I want to be careful how I comment on this. I don't need Broncos fans at me all weekend, but it's a little.
Go ahead.
It's a little slimy, just a little.
What Sean Payton did, yeah,
yeah. What he just like calling out a coach like that, saying it's embarrassing, whichever. Like, and he said he doesn't even know Nathaniel Hackett. So, calling out somebody for a job that they did that you had nothing to do with, and you were watching from a neutral perspective, and then coming in to take that job and saying this guy did a terrible, like he was just awful. I don't like that. Like, I get we want to focus on last year and try to figure out what was wrong with last year. Was it Russ? Was it Hackett? Whoever? That's not what Sean needs to do. He needs to say, this is a new team. This is the new Broncos now. We're not worried about last year and all of that. We need to focus on what we're doing now.
I mean, the radio host in me absolutely loves it because there are that, you know, there's times where we're like, yeah, that's all they do is coach speak. And they say the same thing without saying anything. And then when they give you something, you know, people get mad. I'm not complaining that he did it. I'm not really complaining. It's just, I kind of feel bad for Hackett on this one. You just took aim at the guy, and we're so removed from Nathaniel Hackett.
Well, this is, you know, whatever this does for Hackett, if it's motivating him or not, you don't think Jets fans are hearing this?
Oh, yeah. So here's what he went on to basically talk about last year's Broncos and where they did the PR thing, and they went, the PR, the pomp and circumstance,
why would
marching
you not
people
do that
around
for a quarterback
and all this stuff. Yeah.
He's Russell Wilson. He's literally Russell freaking Wilson. Why would you not put all your social media on that?
At the time last year, we weren't complaining about it because if it works, it works. If Russ would have been successful last season, all that stuff would have been fine.
We'd still be saying, let's ride.
We wouldn't care about let's ride. We wouldn't care about the subway ads. We wouldn't care about the bathrooms that at his house. We wouldn't care about any of that stuff. So at the time they did it, you understand why they did it. They're promoting their quarterback. So he went on to talk about the Jets. He said, we're not doing any of that. The Jets did that this year. You watch Hard Knocks, all of it. I can see it coming. Remember when former Washington owner Dan Snyder put that dream team together? I was at the Giants in 2000. I was a young coach. I thought, how are we going to compete with them? Deion Sanders is there now. That team won 8 games or whatever. So listen, just put the work in. Have the Jets been, again, we're not in that market, so I don't see stuff all the time, but have they been over the top promoting their team and Aaron Rodgers and all this?
No, they are the normal off-season social media crew. These are not like the coach and the owners of the Jets organization are not the ones posting on Twitter and stuff. Those are 17, 20-year-old interns that are working there for the summer just putting graphics together. So that's what the social media aspect is. And you're going after Hard Knocks. You're going after Dan Snyder, who's not even in the league anymore.
Oh, he's just going after
people.
It's just
like you're letting all this.
You've
been caged up so much, Sean, that you couldn't talk about all this. Now you're going to let everything out.
I guess at training camp
he did this and you did that, and they were just. This is weird.
This is what I was talking about when Tanner was in here. Like we need Sean Payton and all. I don't know why he sounded like Kermit the Frog suddenly, but this is why I was hesitant because of what you just mentioned earlier. He has a sketchy past. He's talking about teams doing things the wrong way.
Why are you paying attention to what the Jets' social media is doing?
What Sean Payton did to get suspended for a season was way worse than what Nathaniel Hackett did. You can lose games. That's fine. He was a part. Now, I'm not saying Sean Payton pulled money out of his wallet to give to players, but he knew about it, and he allowed it to go on. And then he tried to cover it up, say that he didn't know about it, but we know he knew about it. So you're throwing barbs at Nathaniel Hackett, who, again, I've interviewed the guy. He's one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. His crime was that he was just not ready to be a head coach. He might figure it out someday.
He might admit that himself, but now he's saying,
dead.
I got an OC position. I'm back with my quarterback. I'm comfortable, but I can also challenge myself with a new head coach and learn from things.
Yeah,
not, he's just the worst coach ever. Come on.
It gave me something to talk about. You know?
We're talking about it. But.
Yeah, but I don't like it. As a radio host, this is fodder. This is stuff we could talk about great and pick it apart. But you know, just standing back going, man, that's like you're kind of breaking the code there, man. You're kind of breaking the code.
You can disagree with what another coach does with his program and his team, but saying it's wrong to do something a different way, or, oh, you shouldn't post on social media all that much, or you shouldn't be excited about having Hard Knocks for your team, like, don't tell me how to run my team, coach.
This is the stuff I was worried about with Peyton. You know, he's a media guy. He's a little full of himself and all that.
I'm the end-all, be-all of coaching. You see, they paid all this money to get me out of media to come coach you guys because apparently I know what I'm doing.
It's
a little weird.
I want a confident coach in there, but I don't know, man.
Coach throwing barbs at each and every direction, at guys that are in the league, out of the league, haven't been in the league for a while, throwing out Deion Sanders, he's coaching college. He has nothing to do with the NFL.
It's a bizarre thing, man. It's a really bizarre thing.
And this was just at a press conference?
This was at the Gear Up press conference for training camp.
I thought this was like an interview that had come out.
Well, USA Today, sorry. Okay. Was that USA Today? But he is speaking. Is it today that he's speaking? No, he spoke yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he went off on all of it like he did, but it was with the USA Today. It's absolutely crazy. It was USA Today Sports that posted all this stuff that he said. But still, he said it. It doesn't matter if he said it up on the podium or said it anywhere. He's just going off.
So, this wasn't just like a one-on-one interview with a news source.
Sounds like it was like a one-on-one interview type of deal.
That's a lot to say at a training camp press conference.
Yeah, my bad on that because for some reason I was mixing the two together. But yeah, he sat down with in an interview with USA Today Sports that posted this on Thursday. He was ready to talk about it. I don't think he's going to talk about it much anymore. But he knows it's going to get out. Absolutely, he knows it's going to get out. Okay, I just got this from my friend at Tight Knit Brewing. 4 tickets to Owls, to an Owls game tonight and tomorrow night. Got 4 of them. I'll confirm the details on this. So I'm going to be giving those away throughout the day. So just stay tuned. Guys, you got to get out and check out an Owls game. It is an awesome experience. Perfect time for it tonight. So I'll get some details on that one for you guys. Tight Knit Brewing poll question of the day. Back to the Pac-12. Will the Pac-12 exist in the next 5 years? Yes, no, or yeah, but it'll be under a different name. It'll be under a different umbrella. Let's read some of the text here quickly. Dixon talking about CU. To me, it feels like CU will be in that no man's land a little, always chasing the bigger, better deal, but never really hanging out at the cool kids table. Second or third tier type stuff. Texter comes in about Peyton. Peyton seems to not realize what it's like to be a brand new coach inheriting a crappy, talented, depreciated team. He acts like he's all that in a bag of chips when he has only one Super Bowl and have one Super Bowl appearance and a 9-8 playoff record. Yeah, it's a little over the top. Eastside Chris says so much for anonymous donors. That was Sean Payton's deal, right? It was we want to be anonymous donors. We don't want to be out on Twitter doing this stuff. You told USA Today that last year that was the worst team ever in history, the worst coaching job in NFL history. That's a pretty strong accusation from a head coach.
Is this information he found out since he was hired, or was he paying closer attention to the Broncos last year? Close enough attention to say, hey, they might fire this guy and I could get that job.
Oh, I'm sure it was on his mind halfway through.
Enough to get sources in the Broncos locker room and find out what they're doing? Yeah. If this was stuff he found out before he got hired.
Yeah.
If this was all, hey, Sean, this is what happened.
He's digging it up as he's there. Yeah, he probably, I mean, we all knew about Russell Wilson having a coach there and Russell Wilson having his own office. He probably found out more things that were like, what are we doing here? You know, Russ probably has told him, this is what we did last year under Hackett, and I liked it because I got control. I got my say. I'm sure he's learning more and more about just how bad it was. And listen, I have to look at the stats here. He's probably not wrong. Is that worse than Urban Meyer's year? Because he was there 1 year, right? He was only
in Jacksonville?
Yeah, he didn't finish the year, right?
I don't think so.
That's got to be the worst coaching job in history.
Yeah.
That one's worse than Hackett. I'm just right off the top of my head. There's other jobs out there where guys have been one and done, haven't? I think that was pretty rare. How many coaches have just coached 1 year and been done? All right, 25 minutes after the hour, we got to take a quick break. I did get a reply back from Mike Prater, who does some radio work for Boise State, so we will get him on the show, but tomorrow probably. He's got Rams fans pissed off, dude. More pissed off at him than they were me last week. for suggesting you should root for the Buffs. He goes off, and I've got that clip for you. So we'll play that in a minute. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Little gremlin attack there. Gremlins in the board. That happens. They're real, Angel. They're real. You can't
see
them.
They come in here and they turn off the buttons that are supposed to be on.
Stupid.
Little gremlin. Gizmo.
So last year, Angel, we have a coach that's a pushover and a nice guy, and he's giving everybody hugs. This year, you kind of got, I don't want to say bad, like, is Sean Payton a jerk? I mean, he's setting himself up here, man. He said he's going to be pissed off if they don't make the playoffs this year. There's a lot to get to. Texter from the 405. If last year was the worst, he better make a huge improvement this year, or Peyton will be considered the second worst.
Come on, y'all. Russell Wilson. Holy.
So that was last year. This year, it's like, those guys are terrible. They were the worst things ever. And the Jets are stupid, too. And I don't like any of those guys. It wasn't quite like that, but
I agree with that part.
Who are you rooting for in that game? Because you don't seem very happy with Sean Payton today.
It's indifferent. I don't like that he called out specific coaches or teams. But
like, why mess with the Jets right now? Why are you messing with the Jets?
Jacket. And the Broncos keep making these weird relationships with these other teams. Like, the Seahawks are like that old ex that we keep just popping up with. The Jets are becoming this new, like, enemy because of Aaron Rodgers and, like, that was our prom date, and then the Jets came and snatched our prom date, so now we're mad. Now they've shown up with our old prom date, and they're all together, and they're happy. They look like a fun couple, Aaron and Hackett, and now we're over here with this other guy, and we're just like, I don't know about him. He's over here yelling at everybody else, and I'm just trying to hear have a good time.
Yeah, it's a wild thing. All right, I got 4 tickets for tonight's game for the Owls. You know where they play in Windsor. That's an awesome place out there. You guys got to get out there and check this team out. Frank Gonzalez, we love him. Got the Frank Gonzalez show every Tuesday on Coach Speak. I got 4 tickets right now. Here's the deal. If you want them, you got to get them at Tight Knit Brewery. I just got the text from my guy Phil over there who says, "Hey, I got these hot tickets, but you got to come get them at the brewery. They open up at, I think, 3:00. So I just need your first and last name so I can give it to my folks over there. 4 tickets for tonight's Owls game. So let's go caller number 6, 970-353-1310. Caller number 6, 970-353-1310. Thanks to our folks at Tight Knit Brewing. Get out there, enjoy a great game on a summer night. Caller 6, 970-353-1310. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-seven minutes after the 11:00 hour. Angel, some days, man, you know, in July, early July, doing a 3-hour show, you got to dig up stuff. You know, we were doing movie reviews for a hot minute there. Sometimes you gotta get creative. Days like today, I don't need to prep. There's no prep needed because there's big news. Kevin Lytle, a man that always preps, though. He always is prepared and ready to rock and roll. He is the CSU Rams insider. Well, Kevin, we've got big stuff going on, man. We've got CU looks like they're headed to the Big 12. That's all but done, and now we're left wondering what's going to happen to CSU.
Yeah, kind of useful for this to fall right when we have our regularly scheduled date, isn't it? What a wild 24 hours, or I guess not quite even 24 hours yet. This rumor of CU to the Big 12 has been percolating. CU's powers that be keep sending very mixed messages publicly. At one point, it's, we're going to do whatever's best for us. Another point, we're committed to the Pac-12. Basically, the lesson is that never take their public comments at face value.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, CU to the Big 12, I mean, it sure looks like it's, the paperwork isn't quite signed, but may well be, you know, in a couple of hours. And there's no way this is the only move that's going to happen, you know, in the near future here. We've seen that time and time again. When one thing happens, it leads to a trickle-down effect. So this is just the start.
Yeah, it seems like it. It does. It really does. It's funny you mentioned, like, the powers that be for CU were all over the place. Phil DeStefano said, what, a week ago? CU's goal is to stay within the Pac-12 and have a media deal coming up shortly. That's our goal, and I believe the presidents and chancellors of the Pac-12 are together on that. Well, like you said, don't believe that stuff anymore. These guys are ready to go, man. Don't believe everything you hear or read.
Yeah, exactly. And you almost wonder if that was a shot across the bow, you know, almost a power play of, you know, we better get word, you know, quickly on the, you know, new TV deal or else we're gone. You know, it was said in a way that sounds like we're committed, but, you know, reading it back now, it almost feels like more of that version of, you know, we better be secured, or you better secure us, otherwise we might go. But yeah, everyone is, you know, understandably just working for themselves. Anytime these people say, oh, you know, we're a group, we're bonded together, that's a load of crap. You're working for your university, whatever you think is the best for your university. You don't care about us. You're paid to get the best thing for your university. So anytime you hear about these, oh, we're in it together as a group, yeah, it's just not.
It makes me wonder, too, that's a good point you bring up, that CU, the way Phil DeStefano was talking, it almost sounded like, you better get us an attractive deal here. We're waiting on that. Did they get wind of something? Did they hear that, oh, it's going to be Apple TV? Or do you think it was like, no, we're just waiting for the Big 12 to approve this? Do you think they heard anything that we haven't yet?
It's a good question. I don't know for sure. But it seems very clear that the Pac-12 is not going to get a deal that, you know, it wouldn't even have to match the Big 12. If it was close, I don't think programs would want to leave because, you know, it's hard to leave. It's expensive to leave, you know, even though they don't have to pay an exit fee. There's a lot that goes into it. So, you know, it just seems to be more confirmation that the Pac-12 is really struggling to piece together, you know, I don't want to say good because obviously these are huge numbers we're talking anyway, but a comparable deal. CU, obviously, their actions by moving to the Big 12 speak loud and clear about what they think of the future of the Pac-12.
Yeah, no question about it. And then, you know, it makes me wonder. In fact, our poll question today, Kevin, is the Pac-12 even going to exist in 5 years, or will it be a new name with new teams joining forces? What do you think? Or does it dissolve and then we rebuild something else? If they don't get a TV deal done, it doesn't matter which teams you really add in.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this, you know, basically since USC and UCLA bolted. And I still think the conference will exist in a form. But yeah, it, you know, some of the other schools will certainly be, you know, checking to see how green the grass is on other sides and maybe leave. And, you know, if the Pac-12 loses anyone else, especially if it's Oregon, you know, that's your flagship now. Then yeah, it's a conference in trouble, but I still think, you know, we've talked about, you know, the potential of a pseudo merger between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, where, you know, the Pac-12 leftovers kind of take, you know, the top of the Mountain West, you know, that could happen, stuff like that. I still think the brand is big enough that even, you know, if it's a half Mountain West league, it would probably still fly under the Pac whatever flag. So I think it will continue to exist in a form, but as a true power conference, that's a much bigger question.
Well, and it also goes back to, yes, on the surface, if CSU gets the call today from the Pac-12, yeah, on the surface, it's like, that's a no-brainer. But as you think about this and you wonder what their future looks like and a TV deal and all that stuff, that's where I'm just cautioning and looking at saying, be careful with this decision because you don't want to step into a conference that may not really exist as it is right now, might not even be a Power 5 conference like you kind of alluded to. So you got to be careful here, but I get it, and I would probably vote yes. If the Pac-12 comes calling, CSU should probably make the jump.
Yeah, I mean, there are reasons to be wary, and, you know, some of it's some of the tradition stuff. You know, the CSU want to leave behind Wyoming, you know, because Wyoming's probably not going to get that call unless it is a true merger. You know, stuff like that. But still, you know, the Mountain West TV deal right now is about $7 million. The current Pac-12 one, which obviously is expiring, is about $20 million. So, and you're talking triple the money. And we know darn well that that is, you know, no one cares about tradition. That's not driving any of this stuff very clearly. It's all about the money. So if CSU gets that call, I just cannot fathom how they would say no, even if it is, you know, a diluted Pac-12, you know, if it, you know, say the Pac-12 loses, you know, Oregon and, you know, Arizona State, maybe a Utah. Yeah, it's still, it's diluted, but if the money's there, you know, CSU would go because, again, the money just drives everything right now.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And obviously we knew the Pac-12 San Diego State rumors, and as of right now, it looks like San Diego State's sitting still, but we don't know everything on that side of things. SMU, we know that that's another one that's been rumored to move to the Pac-12. Is it, how realistic is it then, Kevin, that we would see CSU in the Pac-12, and maybe that announcement comes relatively soon, like talking maybe even the next week or so?
Yeah, timing is so hard to guess. I mean, all the speculation, if you will, right now is that the Pac-12 has to move pretty quick because, you know, assuming the CU thing goes through, they're down to 9 schools, you know, with USC and UCLA leaving. Obviously, others may be looking to jump, so they're in a very volatile situation, need to stabilize, and, you know, strength in numbers is a real thing. So it is possible they could move quick. Now, let's say CSU gets the call, you know, they'd be in the same sticking point as San Diego State of, you know, can't afford to pay that $34 million buyout to leave a year from now. So it would have to be 2 years down the road to leave. But, you know, if the Pac-12 has, you know, some of those schools, you know, locked in, maybe that's, you know, good enough. So, you know, things could move pretty quickly, but what it'll look like is just really hard to guess. And I think if I had to guess the steps, next will be, does anyone else leave the Pac-12? You know, Oregon, Arizona State, or Arizona, you know, whoever. And then, you know, whenever the Pac-12 announces a TV deal, which, you know, should be sometime between now and, you know, 2065 or so. And then the group of five movement, I think, would follow that, would be my guess on timing. But, you know, let's be real, this is all kind of guesswork right now because this is all just chaos, really.
Oh, it really is. You know, you pointed this out in your article. You laid it out beautifully, what this could mean ultimately for CSU and a lot of the teams in the Mountain West Conference. And then, you know, the likelihood of Oregon leaving, it sounds like they would leave. That's the class of the conference. And before primetime was there, it was a no-brainer because we knew, was it CU? It was a no-brainer that Oregon was the class. Obviously, Deion Sanders goes to Boulder and flips the whole world upside down. And the Buffs become, after USC and UCLA leave, the Buffs become the most popular in the Pac-12. So I'll be curious to see what Oregon does. And if Oregon stays put and CSU eventually joins the Pac-12, then my goodness, that would be something else. And I think Rams fans would be, you know, pumped about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can get in a league that still has Oregon and Washington, you know, that would be a huge boon. That feels unlikely right now, but
yeah.
All this stuff feels unlikely until it happens. So, yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's one of the big questions. But, you know, I said, you know, I don't know, Brady, it was months ago we were talking about this. I said CSU fans should be, you know, banging the bust the Big 12 drum because that would open the door back up for CSU because that, you know, before this, CSU was, you know, a non-factor in expansion talks. And now, sure enough, I mean, you read a bunch of national stories, and, you know, all of them saying, you know, what could the Pac-12 do? CSU is one of the schools mentioned along with, you know, obviously San Diego State and SMU and, you know, UNLV, occasionally Air Force. So CSU is now back in the conversation, which it hasn't been in a while. So CSU fans should, like I say, be celebrating CU to the Big 12.
Kevin, are you suggesting that CSU fans root for something good to happen to Colorado? Because that's what it sounds like to me. And you got to be careful with that.
Brady, yeah. I mean, could anything bad happen? You know, would anyone on the internet get upset about that? I don't know. You know, do you know anyone that's ever, you know, had that situation happen?
You know what? Let me just say this. You know Mike Prater, don't you, Kevin?
Yeah.
He's taking the heat off of me now. My little, you know, root for CU thing last week, it looks like nothing now. This guy just went off on the Rams fans today, the Rams athletic department, everything. He just went off.
Yeah, there's a weird, you know, fans do this. You know, CSU fans love to kind of mock Wyoming and say Wyoming's relevant. CU fans do it to CSU. Nebraska fans do it to CU, Oklahoma fans do it to Nebraska. You know, there's the whole chain. But there's this weird group of Boise State fans who spend a lot of time obsessing about why Colorado State's name gets mentioned. And, you know, it probably circles back to Boise State, you know, hasn't been offered, and you rarely see Boise State's name in these stories right now. It's, or if you do, it's kind of Boise State's interested, but it's not mutual. So I think there's, you know, the folks in Boise right now are kind of clamoring, hoping they can be involved in what's next, but, you know, kind of wary about not being part of it. So it's an interesting time for the social media fandom when these moves start happening.
It is, man. So I reached out to Mike. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. We follow each other, apparently. And I did reach out. I guess we're going to get him on the show tomorrow, so that should be a lot of fun.
Oh, there you go. Should be interesting.
It should be.
What I was curious, and hey, I mean, he can have his take, whatever. I was a little curious about, you know, the line of the stadium doesn't do it for me. It's like, I mean, yeah. for all the things to dig CSU, I'm not sure the stadium.
Right.
I don't really get that one. I mean, it's pretty much universally considered a very nice stadium.
Well, and then he mentioned something like, you know, Eustachy had a good run, and that was like the only positive. I was like, wait, what about Nico Medved last year? What about going to March Madness? What about David Roddy getting drafted in the first round? But we're going to mention Larry Eustachy's run, so I thought that was a little silly too.
Yeah, a little strange. Everything gets silly around these expansion talks, that's for sure.
It does, man. Last one, and then I'll let you go, Kevin. Are they going to still call it the Rocky Mountain Showdown, since it's not like a yearly thing?
As far as I know, yes. I haven't asked or looked, but I assume so, just because that's such a well-known phrase. So I assume so. I mean, it's, you know, the name was never the annual Rocky Mountain Showdown, so it's still Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's just the here and there Rocky Mountain Showdown. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, you know. The we do it sometimes Rocky Mountain Showdown, but, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what they should name it. Hey, we do this sometimes Rocky Mountain Showdown. Yeah, I think that would be fantastic.
The on and off Rocky Mountain Showdown.
Kevin, appreciate you, man. Looking forward to recharging up Rams Weekly coming up later on in August, so can't wait for that. Love the work that you put together. Great write-up in the Coloradoan today about what this potentially could mean for CSU. So just keep up the great work, my friend.
Appreciate it.
11:51 the time. We're going to wrap up hour number one. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. I want to thank Hikes Ace Hardware. They're located in Greeley. They are veteran and locally owned. They're Greeley's original hardware location. Check them out. They're located at 1722 9th Street. And, man, when we say they offer true customer service, what does that mean? Everybody says we offer great customer service. You guys have been to a hardware store, right? You walk in and somebody's there and you ask them questions and they don't know what the hell you're talking about. They got to go find a manager to figure it out. The manager's kind of like, I don't really know what you're talking about. Hikes Ace Hardware has the people that know the tools, that know the products, know the plumbing supplies. They know, you know, what you might need. When you ask them, they're going to go find it for you. They're going to make sure. And that's what we mean when we say true customer service at Hikes Ace Hardware. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Man, this is just wild. It's just wild. Sean Payton just went all in. And he mentioned Hackett by name, too. That's stuff you don't hear. You might say the way they did things around there was really bad. He said right here, oh, man, there's so much dirt around that, talking about last year. There's 20 dirty hands for what was allowed, tolerated in the freaking training rooms, the meeting rooms, the offense. I don't know Hackett. A lot of people had dirt on their hands. It wasn't just Russell. He didn't just flip. He still has it. This BS that he hit a wall, shoot, they couldn't get a play in. They were 29th in the league in pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball. How does George Payton feel about this? Because George Payton was the man who hired Hackett and essentially allowed all of this to happen. He said this wasn't his fault, talking about Russ. He said that was the parents who allowed it. Is George Payton one of the parents? Oh, boy. Last year it was rust and it's spicy and all that. And this year it's like straight up fire coming. Can we ever just have a peaceful training camp? You know, maybe once. Second hour coming up next.